And now Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Boner, Briefcase, and Brolly Brigade.
Then from the ministry.
Once again, our story takes us to that hive of industry, the General Assistance Department in Whitehall.
How's the collection going?
Well, I've been round a lot of offices, and I've got more buttons than a Chinese laundry.
Good gracious. Well, I didn't put in buttons, I assure you.
No, Mr. Lennox Brown, I saw you put yours in. 2 Spanish pesetas and a bottle top.
Well, the exchange rate in Spain is very good. No, I must check this form. It has to be in by tomorrow. It's generally agreed that I am the natural successor as permanent undersecretary.
Mr. Lamb's going in for it too, you know.
Yes, well, there's no harm in his trying, I suppose. He can't possibly get anywhere, but it gives him a bit of excitement, you see.
Oh, you reckon he hasn't got a chance,
well,
then?
Well, ask yourself, Mildred. They want someone who's fit and on the ball. These days, poor old Lamb gets winded going downstairs. Now, the forms must be in by tomorrow, as I said, so I'll just nip along and deliver this one right now.
Hello, number one. You've got an envelope, Mildred?
Yes. Here you are, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you.
I hear you're applying for Sir Gregory's job, number 2.
What? Yes, it did cross my mind that I might have a go. On the other hand, I might not.
Well, my dear fellow, you apply. Yes, go ahead.
Aren't you applying?
Me? No, I don't think so. I'm not ambitious, as you know. I doubt if I'd bother, actually.
Well, I could do the job if they wanted me, of course.
Well, anyway, there's no hurry to fill in your form, old chap. It needn't be in until next month.
Mr. Lennox Brown, you just told me that
thank you, Mildred. When I need your advice, I'll ask.
Where are you off to, number one?
Me? Oh, well, yes. Oh, no, I'm just off for a stroll down the corridor. Get some fresh air, you know.
What's that yellow form in your hand?
Which yellow form was that? Oh, this yellow form. Yes, I'm glad you asked me that, number two. This, it's a plan for the new refuse disposal unit. I thought I'd go through it. No. While I'm getting some fresh air down the corridor, I'll see you all later. Goodbye.
Pay no attention to Mr. Lamb. The forms must be in by tomorrow.
Yes, I know.
You know?
I just didn't want to put Mr. Lennox Brown right. I was afraid it might confuse him.
Well, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Do you know who said that, Mr. Lamb?
Yes, it was you, Mildred. I saw your lips moving.
I see. So, you've filled in your form, have you, then?
Yes, and I'll hand it in on the way to lunch.
And what time will you be back?
Oh, just a short lunch break today. I'll be back at about 3:30.
Only don't forget, you and Mr. Elby are supposed to be making arrangements for the big international conference. Accommodation agenda and so on.
Oh, I haven't forgotten, Mildred. I've done all the groundwork already.
Have you really?
Yes, I sharpened our office pencils.
Number 2, I think you should know that I decided to apply for Sir Gregory's job after all.
Funny you should mention that, number 1. I popped in an application too.
Oh. Well, we mustn't let this spoil our friendship, must we? Let's just say, may the best man win.
Here, here.
And when I've got the job, I'll still talk to you.
Thank you. But just a minute. I may get it in the end.
Yes, well, that's enough of that. If we don't get on with the conference job, we'll both get it in the end from Sir Gregory's boot.
Well, you two, don't tell me you're working for once.
Oh, Sir Gregory, yes, indeed we are, but we don't mind your interrupting us. Do come in, Sir Gregory, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, though somewhat overworked.
Yes, Sir Gregory, we all are.
What?
In spite of which, we can still find time to lament the departure of a colleague, Sir Gregory. You can imagine our feelings when we heard you were going.
Yes, we were speechless, Sir Gregory.
Were you really, lad?
Yes, we'd had a few drinks to celebrate.
To wish you luck, my colleague here means.
Oh, thank you. I realize there may have been times when you thought me a little harsh.
No, not at all.
There's no sense in denying it. I have frequently felt like strangling the pair of you and throwing you out of the window. But I'd like you both to know it was nothing personal.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it wasn't.
Yes, no, not at all, yes. But may we inquire as to why you are resigning?
I'm resigning, gentlemen, because I've been offered an important post in industry. Details aren't finalized yet, but I'm assured that I shall rise rapidly to the top. Well, you know the sort of money private industry pays. Top men get 40,000 or 50,000, you know.
And luncheon vouchers?
Don't be absurd, Lamb. I shall take luncheon in the director's dining room. And there's been talk of an earldom on my retirement from the ministry.
I say, Sir Earl Pitkin.
Richly deserved, of course. I've given the best years of my life to the civil service. Years of hard, exacting work. The permanent undersecretary's job is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
But you wouldn't mind if I got it, Sir Gregory.
Well, oh, yes, you've applied for the post, I hear. Well, after the Lord Mayor's show, aren't they? Oh,
thank you very much, Sir Gregory.
You always did have a sense of humour, Lennox Brown.
I've applied for it as well, Sir Gregory.
Yeah, whoa. Oh, dear. You've applied for it now.
What was all that about?
That's me.
Oh, I see. He doesn't know which of us will get the job.
Oh, dear me.
What a peculiar pair they are. Anybody would think they were taking me lightly.
Mr. Lennox Brown, Mr. Lamb, you're both on the shortlist for Sir Gregory's job.
Am I really, Mildred?
Both on the shortlist? Are you sure?
Yes, there's a memo from the appointments board.
Oh, well, I knew that I'd be in the running, of course, but candidate number two, I'm surprised that you are.
But why shouldn't I be? I'm not as daft as I look, you know.
Oh. Both on the shortlist, eh? No, I must say, that's quite amazing.
Well, not really, Mr. Lennox Brown, because it seems only you two applied.
Oh.
Mr. Crawley says I'm the man for the job.
Old creepy Crawley next door.
Yes, says he thinks very highly of my what's-his-names.
Hey?
Qualifications, you know. Well, if I'm to meet the appointments board, I'd better go and buy a new suit, hadn't I?
Oh, look, hang on. No. Are you sure, number two? I suppose one shouldn't. No, help a rival, but I'll just give you one tip.
Oh, thank you.
Well, these appointments boards hate formality. They much prefer the sort of casual approach. A new suit would look, well, you know, a bit ingratiating.
I see. Well, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, show some sort of independence. That's what they're looking for. Roll up wearing your gardening clothes and a pair of tennis shoes.
Is that what you're going to do?
Well, something like that.
Jolly good idea, number one. Then I won't buy a new suit.
Now, where are you going, then?
Going? Oh, I'm off to the stationery store for some more, red tape.
Mr. Lennox Brown, if Mr. Lamb goes along dressed like that, he'll never get Sir Gregory's job. In fact, he'll probably be sacked from the job he's got.
Mildred, don't interfere with matters you don't understand.
Well, who are you telephoning at, then?
Me? Oh, no, it's just a business matter.
Hello? This is Ramadan
Hanny,
my phony Lanny
Mukherjee,
tailoring
wallah,
is that the phony?
Ah, yes, Mr. Mukherjee, it's Lennox Brown here. Is my suit ready yet?
Oh, my God, he could not, no, not yet, it is not being, no, indeed, no.
But you advertise yourself as the one-day tailor.
Oh, that is indeed right here. When we are saying we are being one-day tailors, it means we are taking your order and one day you are getting the suit.
Now listen, Mr. Mukherjee, the suit was almost ready last week. It only needed the legs shortened. Look, I must have it by tomorrow morning.
Oh, then I'm having to be helping as surely as my name is Ramadan Hari by Punilavi Mukherjee. If you are coming around to my establishment at once, if not sooner, you can be having a seat straightly away.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But right, Mr. Mukherjee, I'm on my way. Look, I have to pop around the corner for 10 minutes, Mildred.
You're getting a new suit, aren't you?
Well, yes, that's right. It's for a meeting of the parish council tomorrow night. I've got to go for a final fitting so they can shorten the legs. I shan't be long.
Would you, Adam and Eve, it? Talk about the rat race, except this is more like a mouse race.
Hi, Miss Murphy. Where's Mr. Lennox Brown?
Oh, he's having a fit around the corner, Sir Gregory.
What?
He's having his legs shortened.
I'm sorry I asked. As you know, he and Lamb are assisting on quarantine problems, if assisting is the word I want. Mm. Now, there's a Barbary ape on its way from Gibraltar to be a companion for the lady ape in the London Zoo. Now, your people are to supervise its arrival at London Airport tomorrow at 10 and its speedy delivery to the zoo. The ape is called Arthur, by the way.
Arthur the ape? Mm. Oh, I bet he's looking forward to swinging London.
Yes, quite. Yeah. Well, pass the message on, Miss Murphy, and see I'm not troubled with this any further.
Right, yes.
When I'm in industry, I'll have better things to do than monkey around with apes.
It's all go, isn't it? Now then, meet ape Arthur at London Airport, 10 a.m. tomorrow. He's coming from Gibraltar.
Well, my word, Mr. Lamb, you are looking smart. And congratulations on getting your, what's his name?
Thank you, Mr. Crawley. Actually, this is a new suit. But don't tell my number one.
Oh, nice material. That'll impress the... what's his name?
Yes, I hope so. Mind you, it is a bit tight under the what's his name.
Here's Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, well, 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 number two. So you got your new suit after all?
No. This isn't new. I've had it for ages and ages.
It looks as though it's just come straight from a sale.
Whatever makes you say that?
There's a label hanging down your back. It says no reasonable offer refused.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was congratulating Mr. Lamb on making the shortlist.
Were you indeed? Yes, all right, come along, number two. There's work to be done. If you'll excuse us, Mr. Crawley.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll see you later.
I just went into Mr. Fay from the Foreign Office, number two. They want us to give full VIP treatment to all the foreign delegates at the conference, and they'll pay the expenses.
Ah, that's all right, then. Oh, hello. Mildred's left us a note. What does it say?
Let's have a look. Meet A.P.E. Arthur at London Airport, 10 a.m. tomorrow. He's coming from Gibraltar. Now, there's a case in point. Mr. Arthur is obviously Gibraltar's delegate to the conference. Number two, we must greet him in style.
Quite right. I'll book him a suite at the Plaza. And then we'll meet him with a Rolls Royce. We don't want to hang around, do we?
That's right, yes. And what about a gift at the airport? A bottle of champagne and a couple of cigars, perhaps? It's only public money, after all. Now, excuse me, we're from Whitehall, and we've been asked to meet a rather important visitor from Gibraltar.
Oh, yeah, we've been expecting you. He's here in my office. All you'll have to do is sign his immigration forms, and he's all yours.
Oh, really, these wretched bureaucratic red tape measures. All right. Look, I'll sign the forms, and you go and greet our visitor, number two.
Yes, all right, and I'll present him with our little gift. That'll make him feel welcome.
Yes, of course. By the way, did he enjoy the flight?
Well, I think so. I'm told he was rather excited at first and bit an air hostess in the transit area.
Yes.
Well, I expect he did what?
Well, of course, our girls are trained to deal with that sort of thing. She stroked his ears and gave him a banana.
A banana?
Yeah. After that, he just sat on the pilot's shoulders and scratched himself.
Number one, could I have a word with you?
What's the trouble? You're shaking all over, number two. Didn't Mr. Arthur like our gifts?
Well, it's hard to say, actually. He poured the champagne over his head and stuck one cigar in his ear. I can't tell you what he did with the other one. Here he comes now.
What? This is Arthur? But he's a blasted chimpanzee.
No, he isn't. He's trying to tell you that he's a Barbary ape.
Well, so far, so good. At least we've got him back to the office.
Yes, thank goodness.
I wonder where he's supposed to go. We don't ask Sir Gregory.
Yes, and we don't let anybody find him here. And I mean, animals aren't allowed in the building.
Well, you're right, yes. We'll have to hide him. I've got it. We'll disguise him as a human being.
Eh?
We'll be safer if we put him in clothes, and we'll get some bananas from the canteen, and that might stop him chewing the curtains.
Yeah, but where can we get him some clothes from, number one?
Off your back.
What?
He can wear your new suit.
My suit? But this is my brand new suit for the interview.
Nonsense. You told me yesterday you'd had it for ages.
Yeah, but I...
Not another word. Get that suit off and give it to Arthur. Before Sir Gregory sees him.
But what about me? I mean, I can't spend the rest of the day in my raincoat and underwear.
Oh, really, don't fuss, number two. Oh, you seem to have no sense of priority.
But I have my interview in an hour. You're trying to ruin my prospects. That's what you're trying to do, isn't it?
Good grief, the interview.
Yeah.
All right, number two, I will give you a chance. You can have 10 minutes to buy another suit.
But I can't afford another suit.
Then you'll have to hire one. Look, I've given you your opportunity. Take it or leave it.
Oh, well, I suppose I'll have to then, but I don't really have much...
Yes, it's all right for you, sitting on Lamb's desk, tearing up his confidential file. Come to think of it, you look almost as human as Lamb does. All right, you look more human than Lamb does.
Oh, Miss Lomax Brown.
That is correct, madam.
I'm Miss Pringle from the appointments board.
Oh. How do you do?
And who is this at the other desk?
That? Oh, yes, well, yeah, that's Arthur.
I thought you shared this office with someone called Richard Lamb.
Oh, yes, that's him. Arthur Richard Lamb.
Oh, good. You're both to be seen by the board this afternoon.
That's right, yes, at 3:00.
Yes, well, that was the time, but as you're both here, we'd like to do it now.
Do it now?
Yes. Our chairman, Brigadier Gunn, wants to go off early. So come along, please, and bring your friend Mr. Lamb with you.
I'm back. I thought I'd go the whole hog and hire a morning suit. How do I look?
Like an obsolete tailor's dummy.
Thank you, number one. But this will impress the board, won't it?
Number two, I'm not sure how to break this to you. Your suit's all right. Jolly nice, in fact, but the interview's over.
Over? But it's not until 3:00.
Well, they moved it forward, you see. I tried to stop them, but they insisted.
But do you mean that I bought a new suit and then hired another, and I don't even get an interview? Well, it's not fair. I mean, after all...
Don't panic. Oh. Don't panic. You were represented. I took the ape and no one noticed the difference. Except they said it was rather unusual to see a candidate perched up on the back of the secretary's chair.
Here, Mr. Lennox Brown, the zoo's on the phone. They want to know why Arthur hasn't arrived.
The zoo? Oh, so that's where he's got to go.
Well, of course it is. Didn't you get my message? He goes on display this afternoon, and the public are queuing already.
We must get there at once. Quick, number two, he's sleeping in the map cupboard. He was rather tired after the interview.
Oh, dear.
Well, he's
not there now, Mr. Lennox Brown. The cupboard's open, and so's the window.
What do you mean he's not there? Don't say he's escaped.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Oh, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes. You know, the zoo's made a bit of a thing of this. They got a gala show in an hour on telly, too.
Oh, glory. Sir Gregory will go mad if we don't provide an ape.
You've got to provide one. There's a van from the zoo outside.
There's only one answer.
What's that? No, flee the country?
No. One of us will have to dress up in that monkey skin from the drama group's Christmas pantomime.
Ooh,
And you won't mind doing that, will you?
Me? Dress up in a...
No, but you're the obvious choice. You walk like a chimpanzee anyway.
And here is the news read by Mortimer Thrip. Large crowds were at London Zoo today to see the new Barbary ape. He is bigger than most apes, but seems to be less intelligent. Although at one stage he was reading a newspaper. The newcomer has been brought here as a companion for Barbara, the zoo's regular ape. But when the two were introduced, the male ape seemed strangely reluctant. They were separated after Barbara chased him round the cage and grabbed him by the rear entrance.
Well, number two, it seems we got away with it. thanks to my unceasing efforts.
Your efforts? What about me? Locked in a cage all day with children shoving peanuts up my nose?
Yes, all right. Grateful it's all over. You were lucky Arthur found his own way to the zoo. He probably sensed Barbara was waiting for him.
Mr. Lennox Brown, there's a letter for you from the appointments board.
Oh, good. I wonder what they say. Oh, what does it say here? Your application for the post of undersecretary has been carefully scrutinized, and the computer has made a viability analysis. Ooh. A negative response was recorded.
But I don't get it.
Well, that's right, you don't.
You mean they've turned me down? But how dare they?
Who's got the job, then?
Let me have a look. We shall, in fact, be appointing your colleague at the interview.
Blimey, they've given it to the ape!
Oh. He seems just the type we look for in the senior civil service.
Fancy a monkey as permanent undersecretary.
No, Mildred, don't you see? They thought they were seeing Mr. Lamb.
I say, so I've got the job. Now keep calm, Lamb. I've got it, I'm in charge, I'm the greatest, I'll show them, I'll make them suffer.
Number two, would you mind control yourself,
please? Don't give me orders, Lennox Brown. Go and stand in the corner. And Mildred, make some more tea at once.
Blimey, Hitler rides again.
Hurry up.
Now, just a minute, number two. You're not in charge yet, you know. Sir Gregory doesn't leave until the end of the week.
Morning, Lennox Brown. Lamb.
Morning, Sir Gregory.
Good morning, Sir Gregory. And a nice to see you for about the last time.
I can't stop to chat, Lennox Brown. I'm on my way to admin. I just wanted to remind you to give me that report I asked for next week.
Next week, Sir Gregory? But you won't be here. You've gone to your new post in industry.
Didn't you know? I've withdrawn my resignation. I'll be staying on as permanent undersecretary.
You're staying on, Sir Gregory?
Thank you, Lamb. I knew you'd be pleased. I turned down the outside job after all. Yes, I felt it was my duty to stay here. Couldn't let the department down, what? I'm just off to tie up the details.
What a rotten, conniving old twister! So after all that, I'm still a junior executive.
No, number two. It may be for the best, old chap. It's not such a bad life after all, is it? No work, no responsibility. But I wonder why Sir Gregory turned down the move.
Here, Sir Gregory's staying on, did you know?
Yes, he just told us, but we can't think why.
He was so excited about that job in industry.
Aye, until he found out what it was. I just heard the news from Sandra. It's all over the building.
It was supposed to be a good job. He was going to rise rapidly to the top.
Well, in a way he would have done. They were going to make him the lift man.
One way of getting to the top, you know,
just what he was thinking for.
Muddling through was the men from the ministry tonight with John Simpson and Roger Service. Also in the mud were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan and Brian Squires.
Tonight's script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Brian Squires. Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry.